Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
You will drain it.
Welcome to Who Weekly, the podcast where you'll learn everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. I'm Bobby Finger.
I'm Lindsay Weber.
And we're recording like an hour late this morning because of Taylor Swift's September issue cover that completely got us derailed.
We are not recording an hour late because of Taylor Swift's September cover. You make it seem like we were like, we must stop and fully take an hour to insult Taylor Swift's September cover.
Temporarily, we were. We could spend all day talking about it, but I just want to talk about that video of her asking questions to Anna Wintour, and they filmed it in like separate time zones. I mean, basically different planets at different times.
The transparency of Vogue saying we desperately need video content and we have 73 Condé. Questions, right, through Condé, who has success with Bon Appetit. Mm-hmm. Like, it's obviously a mandate, and they're saying, okay, well, what is Vogue's like most culturally known entity, Anna Wintour? And how do we get Anna Wintour to do content for, like, people to watch? Oh, let's do videos. So they have a whole video series asking Anna questions for, like, normal people. When that is the last thing I want from Anna Wintour. I don't want to know anything about her being normal. I know. It ruins her. It ruins the mystique.
Anna Wintour is not normal. Do not convince me that she is normal. I need to put, like, a hashtag this is not normal sign on Anna Wintour.
Literally. And so then we have, you know, this video where Taylor is interviewing Anna, but they're not in the same room. So you have Taylor in a different room or like in a different country saying like, Anna, what are your dog's names or whatever? Who cares? And then Anna going, Taylor, thank you for asking. It's like, this is insane.
All right, Anna, if you were to have a dinner party, what would be the background music you would play?
Taylor, I like to start the evening off with conversation, and then when we move on to a more informal part of the evening and into music, and maybe this will cause you to forgive me for my answer to the cat's question, I definitely would choose Fearless, maybe Red, and then, of course, Lover.
It really shows how uncreative they are, because you know what a cool way could have been to do that? Put them on FaceTime and record the scream. Make it real. Make it a real situation.
Joe Coscarelli's thing.
Right. Like, why couldn't they have interacted with each other? That would have been added something. Taylor's like, Lindsay, who's your favorite character in Cats? She's like, thank you, Taylor, for asking. It's like, what is this hell
Taylor,
that I'm in?
Well, Taylor, as you know, I'm a big theater person.
It's just a very
bad,
lazy and cobbled together. And you can tell they put a lot of money into it. So it just sucks to not have the creative thought behind the cash flow. It's annoying.
It's very first idea, you know?
It's first draft shit. And like very like, we have Anna for 5 minutes. We have Taylor for 10 minutes. Like whatever. I don't know.
Taylor found out about it 2 seconds before. They were like, Taylor, can we grab you for some digital content? And then her handlers were like, we have a hard out at 9:26. And she's like, it's fine. We'll do this in 10. It's
True for Payne's Anna. Like, I'm on the line. And then they're like, I'm counting down.
And then Anna's on speaker and it's like, it's for Anna. And they're like, oh, we have to do it. It's for Anna.
It's just annoying because Taylor, for all of her things, is a very creative person and is very good at like figuring out how to present herself in different ways, you know, and well, for the most part, but like, she's good at Tumblr. She's good at things that are like unexpected of her or more of like her generation. Mm-hmm. And to not even to kind of put her in such a stuffy situation and make it so lame. It's just like, it's whatever. It's not creative.
I haven't
it's
read the profile yet, but I'll do that after we record.
And she already did the 73. So it's like, oh, like that was the best. That 73 was a genius.
Her 73 was for like years ago. And it was the house that I don't even know if she lives in anymore. It was that Beverly Hills house.
Wait, was that your Anna Wintour voice?
No, that was my Taylor Swift voice.
Oh, God.
Do you know how Taylor Swift talks like this?
I know, but it's so much like it's so much every time, lower.
Every time Taylor Swift speaks, I'm like, oh! Very Lala, like how Lala's like, oh!
Which is weird because she does have a high-pitched voice when she sings.
Yeah.
Or she, her register her is
her speaking
high.
Voice is extremely baritone and like almost like echoey. There's something sort of, I don't know, cavernous about her vocal cords.
We can't talk about Taylor Swift anymore unless you want to address the Charlie XCX thing, or do you want to wait for the call?
Why don't we just play that call first? It's an easy thing.
Welcome to Who's There. We play calls, we take questions, we take comments, we take insults, and we don't take them. I mean, we take but we don't play them.
No.
The number is 619-WHO-THEM if you have any of those things, and let's start with this call.
Hi, Who Weekly. Long time. I'm calling in. First of all, I just read Bobby's Charlie XCX cover story for Pitchfork, and it's obviously really good. So talented, and I'm a huge Charlie XCX fan, so this is like such an iconic like mashup of like my interests. But the reason I'm calling, Bobby, you literally now have every Taylor Swift fan like attacking Charlie XCX because of what she said about like performing to a bunch of 5-year-olds. I don't know if you've seen it, because the story dropped like I feel like an hour or two ago. And now, like, within those 2 hours, people are already, like, dragging the shit out of Charlie, which is absolutely not what she needs right now. Obviously, that's not your fault. Like, it's something she said, but I was, you know, I don't know. I want to know, like, is that really what she said? Like, taken out of context? Like, are the Swifties right for this? Who's to say? That's all. Hyaluronic acid.
Wow, Bobby, you fucked over Charlie XCX. How does it feel?
I mean, I truly feel absolutely terrible, but I also don't, I have to convince myself rationally that I didn't do anything wrong, and neither did Charlie.
When you were telling me about this a little bit, I didn't have the exact quote, but you were not acting like you thought it was going to be such a big
deal.
No,
not at all. Not at all.
And which is weird because you normally have very good...
too sensitive. They're hypersensitive.
How did you not get this one?
I had like underestimated the impact of an angry Swiftie. But let me just read the full quote. So she's talking about in our conversation, she started talking about how like...
Are you reading from your piece or are you reading from your actual full quote?
From my actual piece on Pitchfork. Because that almost that entire part of the conversation is just in here. Like she didn't say anything.
So that was the exact quote.
Yes, here's the
line.
In
context.
Yes. I mean...
Sorry, I'm being real.
They're fact checkers. They check all my transcripts. Like they do all this.
That's what I'm saying.
Increasingly, Charlie has come to realize that some of those diehards might be, that those same diehards might be all that matter to her, which is like, I don't know, her biggest fans, the biggest angels. This became especially clear when she played more than 50 stadiums around the world with Taylor Swift last year during the Reputation Tour. Those truncated opening sets starting at 6 p.m. were a far cry from the late night shows in cramped, crowded venues where the angels have grown accustomed to seeing her. And this is something that I talked about with, because I had to do interviews with Christine and the Queens and Troye Sivan. And Troye Sivan like was talking about how much he loved their friends. And he was talking about how much he loved like seeing her at those like late night shows and how like,
right.
the
so
energy there is
clarify,
unparalleled.
Right, to clarify, it's like I saw Charlie. Her shows are like all her friends. She goes on at 1 a.m. Like it is not a show for somebody on either under the age of 20, no, under
the,
sorry,
age of 35.
Under the age of 16 and over the age of 30. Like you are, you know, it is a young, old, you know, I'm trying to.
It's fun. You're trying to get context to this.
Yeah.
So Charlie says, I'm really grateful that Taylor asked me on that tour, but as an artist, I kind of felt like I was getting up on stage and waving to 5-year-olds. Because in the context of this story, if you read the paragraph above it, she's talking about like being at late night clubs with her fans.
Yes.
And now she's waving at kids.
And who comes to a concert at 6 p.m.?
They are kids.
Yes.
So, I don't know. She's not being rude. And she begins
not
the quote by saying...
Not all Taylor Swift's fans are children, but there are certainly younger fans that Taylor Swift has than Charlie has because of the nature of their music.
And also, that's
also
clearly hyperbole. Have you ever heard of hyperbole? Jesus.
And also, like, as the type of people who would loll at, like, an opening act... or whatever, you know, whatever. We would law at like Sierra selling $3 tickets on Groupon for people to like come to her show, you know?
Yeah.
That's not happening, but like that is my example or whatever. Mm-hmm. It is so obviously demoralizing to have to open for the opener at a stadium tour in which you go on when the lights are still out in the sky at 6 p.m.
Like, remember we saw
every
Perfume
night,
Genius
50
at City Field?
Times. Oh, demoralizing.
And he performed it was as bright
broad
as the
daylight.
Sun.
Right.
And Perfume Genius was out in whatever that
it's
was.
It's just a really hard gig to do 50 times for audiences where you're breaking through. So you're trying to like have them know you like, oh, who was that girl that opened for the opener at Charlie? At Taylor, we thought she was really fun. Like maybe I'll look her up. That's the number one goal. And that's why you take the opportunity. But
works.
Is it fun? No.
There's no way it's fun.
So like
there's
to
no way
get mad
that
at someone who is clearly in the powerless position here where it's like she's not grateful to Taylor, all this shit. It's
and
like
she begins
kind
by
of
saying, I'm grateful
ignorant
to Taylor.
Right, right.
Their entire
Wait, we
precedent.
Didn't even say, do we need to say, I mean, we've never really talked about Charlie on the show before in terms of like, who is she, Bobby?
She's our supreme multi-hyphenate, Lindsay. She's pop supreme multi-hyphenate. She's singer, songwriter, pop performer, like.
But she's most known as like, she's more of an underground artist, I would say. But she is the purest pop form. Her number one passion is pop music and the kind of the life force of a pop song.
She's an underground artist signed to a major label, which is kind of the point of this piece, where she feels like these two sides of herself are constantly at war. And she's like, I don't know where I belong. That's the whole point of this interview. So she has this new album coming out next month. I think it comes out in September. It's extremely good.
I don't think we're speaking. I think we're speaking to the choir here. Like, I think.
I know.
What is it? Preaching to the choir?
Preaching to the choir. Also, Charlie likes
Who
Weekly.
I know. Charlie likes Who Weekly, too. That's like we're truly in her corner for many reasons.
She's one of you. I don't know.
But
this.
I don't think that people listening to this podcast would necessarily be like, I'm a Swiftie and you're not going to convince me. I just think it's like the mass energy of a fandom is just insane. And a lot of fans are from all over the world. So misunderstanding the context of stuff is literally the number one thing that is going to happen here.
When a fandom gets that large, it's very hard to harness. And so they kind of are left to their own devices and they enjoy the act of defending their fave.
Uh-huh. Bobby,
and they
though,
sort of do it
thoughtlessly. Honestly, though, what do you think about the Notes app apology that
she
released?
The Notes app was hilarious. And I think, I mean, Charlie knows it's hilarious, right? She had to clear it up. She had to clear it up. I mean, did you look? She was fucking trending over Toni Morrison's death and it was exclusively because of Swifties. Like, are you kidding?
Know.
It was Swifties who were mad at her based on something that was taken out of context and also deliberately misinterpreted, you know?
Also just something that'll blow over really quickly. And it also just felt very antithetical to, like, Taylor's preaching, like, don't bully people. Like, don't be mean. Don't do this. And it just feels like none of the messages are going to the fandom that would be listening the hardest. Yeah. I really do think that it's gonna blow over and be fine.
It already has.
I think it was like just a total ridiculous thing.
There was
already
backlash to the backlash where the Angels and the Swifties were trying to come together and there was some new hashtag that was like Charlie Taylor Truther or something like that. And it was filled with like photos of them hugging and like
every
Bobby,
I can't believe you
they've said
did
before.
This. You did this.
I didn't do this. The Swifties did this.
You did.
Anyway, you can read the story now on pitchfork.com. It's really good. Charlie deserves everyone's support. She fucking rules. Hanging out with her was like wild.
It's a thoughtful profile about somebody who is really like going through it in terms of the nature of their own fame and success. Mm-hmm. And to have this be what comes from it is kind of just like a bummer. So I hope that you guys, if you've only read about it or seen it excerpted, like go read the whole thing because it really adds like dimension to the way that I thought about her and like her mission, you know, because she's grappling with a lot of the things that are so understandable, which is like she has this incredible audience that knows her well. It's like the Hooligans, like, you get us, right? But part of you is always like, well, what if we were bigger? What if more people knew? But would they be, but what would that be like? Would parallels. I want to live that lifestyle? Would Charlie want to live that lifestyle? Then she wouldn't be able to go anywhere, do anything, date anyone, do any, you know, so, because it is like interesting that it's Taylor Swift that she uses as an example. Mm-hmm. Taylor Swift can't do shit. She can't do anything. Mm-hmm. Her life is, she's in a gilded cage. And it's like, is that a life you want if that means you're having the success and recognition that you think you deserve?
Yeah.
Whatever. Great questions. Great thought for this podcast.
Yes. No, you're right.
Wow. We've now gone on for too long.
No, it's fine. We've gone on just long enough. Next comment.
Hi, Lindsay and Bobby. I just wanted to share, I had a Con Ed experience similar. And so you might want to call them and check. But basically, one summer, my husband and I, we were running our air conditioning, like, all the time because it was so hot. We were getting bills that were, like, not high. And so we were like, this is great. We can keep running it. And then in the fall, they came and actually read the meter at the apartment. And we ended up getting slammed with, like, an $800 bill because they were basically just using, like, projections all summer and not actual readings. And so that's probably what's going on right now for you, is that it's not actually your real use of electricity that they're charging you for. It is just a made-up projection, and then in the fall they will come and tell you that you owe a lot of money. So just watch out. Be careful. Con Ed is shifty. Good form, Bellthorn.
Here's the thing. I suspect that mine is low, and do not – if there are any Con Ed cops out there, I will – I will stop talking about my personal life as quick as I started. And my personal life, meaning the Con Ed bills. But I don't think anyone's checked the Con Ed in my apartment in maybe 100 years. Because whenever the Con Ed people, the number one thing that I was told when I moved in was like, don't let anyone in the building to check the Con Ed.
I remember you telling me that. Oh my God.
Which I just realized after people started calling and being like, it's estimated. It's probably estimated.
We got a million calls about this, like Con Ed experts who were like, you're getting an estimated bill. They have to read the meter. But did you read?
So are you going to let them come read the meter?
Well, the thing is, okay, so the thing is, they used to come because I work from fucking home. They used to come once a month and it was my Con Ed guy. They stopped coming like a year ago. So
I think you need to call them and say, come read my fucking meter.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. You're right. You're right. When you're right, you're right.
Because your bill is too expensive.
Well, meanwhile, now my bill is too expensive.
Will never be.
So I think both of ours are being estimated, but mine is being estimated to the high end of the range and yours is being estimated to the low end.
I think
end of
the last
range.
Time anyone checked mine was before air conditioners were invented. So there is literally.
Lindsay buys 6 more air conditioners. She's like, one for every window. My bill
like,
is $20.
I'm plugging them in and like giving them to friends with like really long extension cords. Like, it's on me, babe.
Okay, we got about 7,000 calls about Con Ed, and we probably got 5,500 calls about this. So I'll play 5. One 5. That dealt with it quickly. Here we go.
5.5.
Willa Ford blames 9/11 for her music career not taking off. Crunch, crunch.
What's the story here? This is like glitter.
I feel like we talked about this because we mentioned this once with Mariah Carey, because Mariah Carey very notoriously blamed Glitter's failure on 9/11, or everyone did, honestly.
Yeah.
And Willa
Ford. It's not like Mariah Carey is out there being like, it's 9/11's fault. It is the general knowledge of pop fans who know when Glitter came out that it was very bad timing and nobody wanted to go see Glitter.
Right. So Glitter was
I wouldn't say
great...
it's an amazing movie that was overlooked, but no one wanted to see Glitter.
Yeah. But Willa Ford has explicitly blamed 9/11 for the decline of her music career, of her, you know, relative success. And she said this to Billboard. A lot of people don't realize. Well, a lot of people don't realize a lot of stuff about you. A lot of people don't realize this, but my second single was released on September 11, 2001. Everything that happened that day froze. The world stood still, as it should have. My second single didn't do well because anything that launched that day kind of got canned. I know that sounds silly. It sounds more than just silly. But on the radio, they slate things, and it really fell to the wayside. I didn't think it was a big deal because we were making a new album anyway. I can't stop thinking about it. And also...
Willa Ford.
Google transcribes Willa Ford to Williford, which is the funniest thing.
Williford, Amanda Williford. Yeah, and didn't you say that people called and said that her friends call her Mandy? She like reclaimed
her friends,
Mandy.
Her friends still call her Mandy, yes, because her name is Mandy.
The irony of Mandy Moore following you around your whole life, because Mandy Moore is still like relevant, so that it's just so funny to me that Willa Ford has been like running away from Mandy Moore being the same as her. What if Mandy Moore got into interiors? Willa Ford would just have to drop out.
Lindsay, when you came over to my apartment last week for dinner and dancing, courtesy of Lala, did it smell like beef or did it smell like cat litter?
It smelled like beef. That's what you were cooking.
That's what I was cooking. It smelled like beef, you know?
It smelled like beef.
It smelled delicious in my apartment. It smelled like all the yummy stuff I was cooking, and it didn't smell like cat poo-poo or cat pee-pee because I use Pretty Litter. And nothing beats Pretty Litter's ability to instantly trap odor. It's ultra absorbent, it's lightweight, it's low dust, and 1 6-pound bag works for up to 1 month. Gives me peace of mind. I know I'm gonna have people over and then they're like, oh, it smells like cat in here. My apartment doesn't smell like cat. That's all you want.
No, it doesn't.
You can pick up the cat and love the cat and hug the cat, but doesn't smell like cat.
No.
Their crystals also change color to indicate early signs of potential illness in your cat, like UTIs, kidney issues, and more. This is, in my experience, this is not in the copy. Especially helpful if you have a senior cat that's getting older and could have like weird medical issues. The litter crystals will change color and tell you that there might be something wrong so that when you go to the vet, you can say, hey, the litter changed color. Could be this. Check on this. So helpful. And if that is not enough for you, Pretty Litter ships free right to your door. You never run out. You won't have huge kitty litter bags taking up space, especially if you live in a small apartment. And even better, you don't have to lug the huge tubs from the store to your car, up the stairs, blah, blah, blah. Comes right to you. Go to prettylitter.com/who to save 20% on your first order. That's prettylitter.com/who to save 20% on your first order. prettylitter.com/who. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, Who Weekly. I'm a longtime listener, first-time caller, calling about what you said about Joshua Jackson and Jodie Turner-Smith. The shirt he was wearing that says Rice and Peas. Rice and Peas is a very famous and popular Jamaican dish served with everything. Jodie Turner-Smith is Jamaican. So I bet he was wearing the shirt to try to let people know he was in it to win it with Jodie Turner-Smith. That's all. Good fun, Bellathorne. Bye.
I knew that, but I love that it was, it's like a shirt. I looked it up, like tried to find the shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Just like a shirt. It's a random shirt.
Yeah.
It's not like a designer, obviously, whatever. It's like a sweet shirt. And didn't they reportedly get a marriage license? Like, weren't they photographed with like a marriage license?
But again, an envelope? We've been talking about this. You never really know what to believe these days, but they got something. And they also posted that cute boomerang or that it wasn't a boomerang, the video of her hand is on his leg and then his hand comes out of the frame and into the frame and then like puts his hand on her hand. It's very sweet.
They're cute. I wish him like total hat. I really love him. There was a great E! News had a tweet and it was like, is he on Pacey to get married soon? And I was like, I'm in hell,
Pacey.
But I love it.
Pacey. I feel like it's not a stretch to say that we sort of energize the E! Social team, I feel like.
Oh, yes.
Because I know that they notice when we pay attention. So I sometimes think that they are getting wilder because, in part, because we're constantly calling them out.
I hope
on it.
So.
I hope it's fun for them.
I don't
Am I giving us
them.
Too much credit? Is that like.
No.
I don't think so because
no.
They've mentioned it. Okay.
We don't like retweet them to be like eye rolly anymore. I think we've now like come in just in full.
If we didn't like it, we would unfollow them.
Hi, this is Grace.
And Andrew.
We're from Chicago, but we're in Beijing. We called 2 days ago to give you an update about Sun Bing Bing, but we're here with another update. So the other day, we pulled these high school kids that we met, so we got the Gen Z perspective, and they're like, okay, we don't know what's going on. And then we went to dinner last night with my entire extended family, and we got the millennial perspective, which is that apparently the new conspiracy is that Sun Bing Bing has been holed up with a Chinese businessman in his apartment building, and she was caught on surveillance camera in the parking lot with a bump. So now a bunch of people in China think that she's pregnant. We have no way to verify this because we are stuck behind the Great Firewall. The only way for us to research is to use a search engine called Baidu, but we don't read Chinese, and that's the only thing that comes up. So it's actually easier for us to call you to ask you to do the research, and maybe this will pop up on the next episode, than for us to actually do the research ourselves. So that's all that we have to say. Please investigate if Sunday Bing is actually pregnant, if that says anything.
The millennials and even, like, their parents, like, know who Sunday Bing is. So she is more famous than the children understand, yeah, is what we learned. On top of this, you know, pregnancy conspiracy theory. And but they like, understand that, like, she disappeared. And, yeah. Okay. We in Beijing still.
Crunch, crunch.
Crunch, crunch.
Thank you, guys.
An incredible call. You are literally calling us because you're stuck behind a firewall. You're in Beijing and you're asking us to do the research for you.
They're calling us to Google because they can't Google.
That is so upsetting to me.
It's very upsetting. Speaking of upsetting, you did more research on this than me. So what's happening?
Well, I just Googled once. I mean, luckily we are not behind a firewall. Thank God. Yet. Oh my God.
Yeah,
and
yet.
I Googled Fan Bingbing pregnant. And, you know, we have limited resources. We don't speak Chinese either, so we can't really read it. And mm-hmm. So we're only doing what, like, kind of we're getting from press that's been translated or people have written about in America. And so luckily there's a great blog that wrote about it, or is it this, I don't know if it's a blog, but Today Online, do you know what that is?
I've never heard of this website.
So it says,
but it's like basically like an English language summation of like Chinese goss.
I love that. We need that. I love that. So it says, there was a CCTV footage of Fan Bingbing caught, and it's been circulating, I guess, via text messages and stuff or
and
WhatsApps
Weibo.
Because it's certainly not online. And I've seen it. We can see it on here. You can Google it yourself if you're in America. And it's this woman who you can barely tell is any, you
she's
can't really tell
anyone.
Who that is.
Yeah.
And she looks maybe kind of pregnant. It's like us with Dakota Johnson. It's like a very like.
Well, if it's us with Dakota Johnson, she looks extremely pregnant.
Okay. So it says, a woman resembling Bingbing in a billowy floral dress claimed that the Chinese actress was pregnant and that the couple had gone their separate ways because Li Chen is not the father of the child. So she just broke up with this guy before she went missing, basically. And now they're saying it's because she's pregnant. But she's been missing for a while, so she would have already given birth. Whatever. Question mark. The footage has been originated in Nanjing's World Trade Center, where the 37-year-old actress is reportedly staying. According to the uploader, Chairman Wu Jun of the Deji Group, who owns the building, is the alleged third party of her relationship.
So
and then the other weird thing is her text got leaked, or someone leaked her text
between,
or released.
But I think it's the stylist leaked them.
The stylist released her text to like fight back against these rumors, which is insane because no one can even see the rumors or just saying the rumors. So how are they going to see the text messages? I'm confused.
So the stylist's name is Christopher. And he
so
was basically.
So you
want to
read the text?
Yeah, wait. I'll be Christopher. You be
also,
Fawn.
Keep in mind, these are translated, so they sound a little wacky because they're in English and they've been translated.
So I'll be the stylist confronting my friend Fan Bingbing about pregnancy rumors.
And I'll be Fan Bingbing.
Okay. People are saying you're pregnant.
Have I gained so much weight that people think I'm pregnant? But I thought I slimmed down. I even lost some weight during this period. Ha ha.
Are you sure you've lost weight? Rude. Oh my God. Are you sure you've lost weight? You couldn't even fit into the outfit I brought. Try losing weight again if you're not Fat Bing.
I'm pretty when I'm fat.
I'll kill you if you're fat. Now that you're single, you should lose weight.
I'm not working now, so there's no rush. I'm not going to lose weight. There's still a month to the event. I'll just slim down then, huh? Wait, hairstylist is so rude.
Hairstylist is extremely rude. But that's like, I mean, it's rude. It's very clearly like a jokey, friendly conversation.
It is.
Also
no, obviously. Calling her Fat Bing is actually just like so funny.
So.
Also her saying I'm pretty when I'm fat.
So again, we still have no answers, though. We still don't know what happened. What the fuck happened to her after she got in trouble for tax evasion? She didn't get arrested, but she was in detention. Why was she in detention? Where was she in detention? Was this where she lived out her detention in this like fancy tower with this man? And like, how are these pregnancy rumors even coming about? Because there are so many details to this rumor. Like, she lived with this guy, this businessman, but then she got pregnant from another guy, and then that split up her relationship. Like, where are these rumors coming from if she's in exile? You know, like, how are these things getting leaked? Especially in a country where the internet is really tough to access. Like, it's all of the things about this are so mysterious to me. Like,
yeah,
all these elements.
I don't know. Yeah, it's crazy.
But it's interesting to know, and it's good to know that it is as confusing in its like country of origin as it is here, you know?
Right, but that's kind of what the bigger mystery is. It's like no one knows what's going on, even people who would arguably be close to the source,
even her
which
biggest
is people
fans
in Beijing.
In her biggest market, right? Like,
and are just gossiping about her because they really don't know what's going on.
Gossiping
whatever,
at dinner.
So strange.
God, not having internet is like such a nightmare, a little like bit of censorship. Like, what a horrible situation. But it would make dinners so much more fun.
Yeah. Right, because you'd be like,
no one.
There would never be somebody who knew the truth.
And there's never a moment where someone's like, let me just Google that. Like, you can't pull out your phones. You got to talk. Yeah. I don't know. Me advocating
wow,
for censorship.
I was going to say, can you not like advocate for that? Thanks.
Okay, what's next?
Now for questions.
Hi, Who Weekly. I was just on YouTube and a video was suggested to me that was a Get Ready With Me video. And it's Get Ready With Me for VidCon, and it's fucking Laura Prepon, like from That 70s Show, and Orange Is the New Black. She's a YouTuber now. What?
Laura Prepon. Preppin? Prepon. Laura Preppin. Is it Preppin?
I don't know.
Everybody, please put your hands together for Laura Prepon.
Laura Prepon.
Prepon.
Laura Prepon. Here we go. All right.
Laura Prepon. Thank you, Ricky. We know Ricky. AOL builds Ricky. Camilleri. Laura Prepon of That 70s Show / Orange Is the New Black / Scientologist married to Ben. What's his face? Fame.
Ben Foster. Also a Scientologist.
Well, that's why, yes. And she also has ties, obviously, to the Mastersons. Very strange,
yikes.
The whole thing.
Well, yeah. Through Scientology and That 70s Show. Nightmare.
That's why I've always felt unease around her. But I've also felt unease around her in general. Because when I first saw these YouTubes, and we've been seeing these YouTubes for a while. She's been doing this for a hot second.
Yeah. You know who's obsessed with these YouTubes? Kay Drees. Obsessed with these YouTubes. Every time there's a new one, she's like, oh my God, a new nightmare. And they're terrifying.
So here's the thing about these YouTubes. Usually when you have like a celebrity do
a lifestyle
YouTube.
Lifestyle YouTube.
A lifestyle YouTube. There's a lot of production value. They put in the effort. I don't know. It's not this kind of like, because celebrities only know how to do stuff with production value because that's what they're used to because they make movies and TV,
and
right?
And usually not always. It's in their house or one of their houses, you know, or
okay,
something
so,
that
yeah.
looks like their house.
Laura Prepon's YouTube videos look like literally she's doing them from a bunker. Underground bunker that it's like literally the apocalypse
yeah,
has happened
in the middle
and
of fallout.
Laura Prepon is like, here's how I make not radiated potatoes for dinner
yes.
or like whatever.
Yes.
Here's how I make radiated potato salad or whatever.
She's the lights are running off of a generator. It's awful.
But you're right. But it's like the lights are weird. The lighting is strange. It doesn't look like a kitchen that's ever been used, but that's not for like a kind of making lunch lady food kind of.
It's not great appliances. And you sort of expect like you're a rich, famous person. Why are you not using like a beautiful range or something like even
but I don't
what's her name
shame her like if that's her actual kitchen but it's not
it's not and so it just is jarring because we're used to seeing celebrities in these like beautiful kitchens or at least like beautiful sets and this is a really shitty set
but here's the thing it almost but the video itself the entire vibe of it it's very like is she okay? If I play this video backwards, does it say help me?
She's not exactly charismatic. She seems the opposite of what her whole thing is, where she's like, this is how I maintain an energy source. Like cooking like this, my entire meal prep lifestyle, my stash plan gives me this like insane amount of
That's
energy.
It
makes
it.
Me better. And she looks unwell in all of these videos, no offense.
Well, it's not even like necessarily that she's unhealthy, but she's lit very poorly.
Yeah. But she's also extremely low energy.
Right, she's very low energy. She has a very specific flat affect. Will you play some clips from it here? Like,
hey everyone, you guys know that I'm obsessed with broth and I talk about it all the time. And I've gotten a lot of questions about doing kind of a more thorough explanation of it. Because I've only been able to really show it on some TV shows where I can't really take my time with it. And I was able to talk about it in my book, but it's totally different when you actually see how easy it is.
And she also chooses these. I know her whole thing is that, and as Ricky asked very politely in his interview with her, your whole thing is, you know, really breaking down the basics or whatever. But the video will be like how to make a salmon recipe is the name of one of her videos. Salmon recipe. Salmon recipe.
One of her videos that like is the one that kind of got me started on the Laura Prepon journey was where she was like, here's how I chop vegetables for the week. And it was like 11 minutes of her just chopping vegetables. And I was like, this is so creepy.
There we go. So the next thing I always have prepped in my fridge is spinach. I love spinach because I can quickly throw it into a soup. I can quickly throw it into an egg recipe to make sure that I get my greens in the morning. You could throw this into anything, shakes with protein powder. I mean, whatever. Spinach is so versatile and is so good for you. So what I'll do is, you know, especially in the wintertime, the stem gets pretty big. So you want to cut that off. So I'll cut all that off. And then what I'll do is give it a nice rinse because spinach is always, there's always dirt on it. So you want to be really careful to give it a good rinse. So let me get my salad spinner.
But as soon as I kind of decided I didn't like it, I came across a video that made me love it. And that is the iconic 65,000 views video that is called Simple Snack Egg Salad.
Simple Snack.
Have you watched this one in full?
Egg Salad. No.
It's
no.
Incredible.
And this is a mayonnaise that I like to use. I don't put a lot of mayonnaise in the egg salad, but you definitely want to have it to add creaminess, so you want a little bit of it. But I tend towards not leaning too heavily on that. So I have my salt and pepper, my dill, mustard, mayonnaise, my white wine vinegar. My chopper, I can move over here. That's over there. Okay, great. So I kind of eyeball this, but I usually start with, let's start with around a tablespoon of mayonnaise and see if you want to add any.
It's
I want to play this clip because this clip killed me. I was watching Ricky's interview with her. Here we go.
Play it.
It's the thing that's healed me the most out of all of the things I've done and all these wonderful people I've had the opportunity to meet and talk to about health and wellness. Bone broth is one of those things that's just a constant.
It's the thing that's healed me most. It's everything, everything. What is she talking
your
about?
Your shitty
bone
YouTube
broth.
Has healed you the no, most? Or your, bone like,
broth,
food
Lindsay.
Journey?
Oh, bone broth. Broth. It's bone the thing broth. That's healed me the most. It's everything to me. It's like the Oprah gift. She is my sister. She's my mother. She's the friend everyone deserves. She's talking about bone broth.
Describe that friendship to me.
Whew, okay.
Bone broth is
the mother I never had.
Bone broth is
the sister everybody would want.
Bone broth is
the friend that everybody deserves. I don't know a better
food.
I don't know a better
food.
It's just so strange to me. Like, clearly this is like, she wrote this cookbook and this is all to like support the cookbook
mm-hmm.
or to like
exactly.
promote
that's
and support
the answer
the
to
cookbook.
Your question. Yes.
Right. That's the answer to the question, but it's such a like very strange way to be doing
it's like
that.
Celebrities who are in the middle of not necessarily an existential crisis, but a professional crisis now often find themselves veering into lifestyle content. Creating lifestyle content. And there are several lifestyle lanes you could go into, like wellness,
right,
fitness,
right.
food.
She chose food.
Crafting, reading, just straight up reading. You could be literate and that's a lifestyle trait. She chose food and it's like and you have to find something that you have like a vaguely personal connection with. And this one is because like I was so sick for so long and like changing my food
right.
routine changed my life. So there is a sort of personal peg to it.
It's also just so like to me the idea that she goes to VidCon is so strange to me because
she doesn't have
there's no reason why Laura Prepon needs to go to VidCon.
No,
like she is not making unique or interesting content.
The people who
she
are
just gets to go because she's famous.
The people who are obsessed with like Logan Paul and Gigi Gorgeous aren't like, oh my god, I'm really struggling
Laura
with
Prepon.
Inflammation and IBS, and I really need to know how to cleanse the toxins out of my gallbladder. Like, no one's saying that.
Yeah.
Moving on. So it says, you put here.
Uh-huh.
You put here. This is her book. And then you paste it in an Amazon link. The Stash Plan, your 21-day guide to shed weight, feel great, and take charge of your health.
Yes.
And I was like, wait a second. I own that book.
No, you don't.
I own it because I got sent it. I got sent not even a galley, full.
Somebody
no, maybe
sent
Kate
this
gave it
to you
me.
In the
Kate,
mail?
When I was at Jezebel.
Did Kate give this to you?
I think Kate got it. And then Kate was like, LOL, do you want this? And I was like, you bet your ass I want this. So I took it home and I never fucking read it. I just thought it was funny to put on my cookbook shelf. And because I want to bump
up my
cookbook.
Open that baby up.
I want to bump up my cookbook shelf. It's kind of sad. And so at the time I was like, I need to make it more interesting. And so I was willing to take anything. So I'm going to open this up. And I read it for the first time this morning. The intros. Part one. Part one. What is the stash plan? Okay, so kind of an intro. And then there's Laura's story. And then there's Elizabeth's story. Elizabeth, a lot of celebrity cookbooks, you will notice, celebrities always hire a co-author who's like more established in either the culinary or like nutrition world. To kind
well,
of
in
give,
this case, it would be a nutritionist, right?
It's, she's neither. She practices like weird alternative medicine, but I think she...
she's neither.
She's an alternative medicine person. But it says, I'm going to read you some of the things I highlighted. Laura's story. You might know me as Alex on Orange is the New Black, or as Donna on That 70s Show, or as Chelsea in Are You There, Chelsea? No one knows you as that. But what most people don't know is that for years I was at war with my body, and it affected every aspect of my health and self-image until I finally figured out the solution. So she begins with like a couple personal anecdotes about how she used to be like so unhealthy and miserable. And here's, before she says that, she says, I've been hooked on cooking and entertaining ever since, so much so that my friends teasingly call me Martha Stewart. Which friends? This anecdote fucking blew my mind. So she talks about like how she tried every diet to like help her digestive problems and help her energy problems, blah, blah, blah. Nothing worked. And then she goes, and did I mention it's embarrassing too? She says the efforts were futile. And did I mention embarrassing too? Once I was at a fancy power lunch meeting at Bouchon, a very nice restaurant in Beverly Hills. I was sitting at the table with three producers, salivating as their amazingly delicious-looking plates of French food were delivered to the table. Meanwhile, I was on a restrictive diet, so instead of ordering my own meal, I pulled a Tupperware container of cabbage soup out of my purse. It was a bit awkward, to say the least, especially when the waiter bustled over to tell me I couldn't eat any food that wasn't prepared in their kitchen. I was mortifying, but I kept on trying. Then she talks about being at...
Okay, but like, you can't do that.
Laura Prepon, you can't bring a Tupperware of
cabbage soup
to Bouchon.
I don't care what your ailment is. You can't bring cabbage soup to Bouchon.
I don't care if you're at McDonald's. Don't bring cabbage soup to another restaurant. Lunatic. God, that is... And then it says...
the wrong conclusion. She took the wrong conclusion from that story.
I know. Then later on, she talks about being at a black tie event at the Beverly Hilton. And she says, I was so hungry I snuck into the bathroom, the train of my gorgeous gown flowing behind me. I feel like she was at the Golden Globes. And then it says, on this particular diet, I was instructed to eat only 6 crackers per day, along with small amounts of carefully weighed food. I'm like, who are these people? Who are you talking to?
It's just unbelievably unrelatable, because she's talking about diets that she was probably put on for...
crazy actress
role reasons
stuff, right?
Maybe like, I don't know, maybe not at this point, maybe nutritionist, yeah.
She talks a lot about inflammation and how to get rid of inflammation, which I'm sort of like, same, I hate inflammation. We hate inflammation on this podcast.
Who likes inflammation?
The key to the stash plan is aiding your liver and gallbladder in getting rid of toxins and bumping them up so that they can increase your metabolism or some shit. The only way you can burn fat is if your liver and your gallbladder work, according to this person. She says that this woman, Elizabeth Troy, Elizabeth explained that all energy starts in the gallbladder and liver, and that it is crucial to get these two organs to function properly before dealing with any other health issues.
I mean, I don't know what to believe here, but I'm really not into taking kind of wellness advice from anyone who like is a Scientologist. Like, I just can't.
But that is the stash plan.
Like, I wouldn't say I'm like the healthiest person alive, but I just, this is not a person who I'm going to turn to for that information.
And this woman is not a doctor.
You know?
This Elizabeth Troy, not a doctor. But guess what?
Right,
it's a
like,
New York Times bestseller
like she,
now. It's a bestseller
right,
now because of.
Well, of course it is because of
so irresponsible.
She's famous.
It's just so irresponsible. It really.
She's
really
famous. And who.
Off. If this were just someone, if this were just Laura Prepon being like, I like making cooking videos, like Terry Hatcher, like this is fun for me. Fine, but for her, I don't know.
But also, you can see the joy in Terry's face, and you can see the misery in Laura's.
Yeah, Well, because
that speaks for itself.
All she thinks about is making her gallbladder work. That's no way to live.
It's because she's trapped in the basement kitchen in a bunker, and she's being asked to make these videos.
She's trapped in the blast from
the
past
kitchen. She's making egg salad. Truly. Alicia Silverstone's like, can I use the kitchen, please?
Christopher Walken is like, I need to make hot Dr. Pepper. Most memorable thing of Blast from the Past.
Wow.
Hot Dr.
Incredible
Pepper.
Incredible recall there.
I love Blast from the Past. It used to be on TBS like once a day, and I would watch it once a day.
For how long?
No, I just love Blast from the Past. It's very cute.
It's very cute. It's one of Brendan Fraser's finest pieces of work. I mean that. Like, it's good. He's really good in it.
Yeah. The Mummy, Blast from the Past, George of the Jungle, Encino Man.
Season 2 of The Affair. Just kidding. He's not that good in it. Okay, let's go on. Let's move on.
Mother's Day. It's American Mother's Day coming up. I know the UK has their own Mother's Day in March, but our Mother's Day is coming
up.
And
we don't just celebrate, you know, biological mothers. We celebrate, you know, people who you could consider mother and those who are mother figures to you. Could be anyone.
If there's a mother in your life who you want to celebrate on Mother's Day, get them StoryWorth. My parents printed out extra keepsake books for them. So now I have one of their keepsake books in my coffee table.
Oh, I love
that. Of their stories, which were, I mean, they were meant for my nephews, but works for me. I like having those stories.
You can read
Everyone
those stories.
Loves these stories in
Any
the family.
Good stories in there?
Not that I'm willing to share.
Oh.
Well, you know what? Here's a fascinating story. I found out, I don't want to reveal what it was, but I found out what my mom originally wanted to do when she grew up.
Which was what?
She wanted to be a flight attendant.
Oh, wow.
It didn't work out. Didn't work out. We love StoryWorth. That helps you preserve precious memories and stories from your mom, mother figure, ma, mother.
Capital M,
all mothers. For years to come. Every week, StoryWorth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick. You can write the questions. You can choose pre-written questions. It's really as much you or your mother are willing to put in. StoryWorth makes it all a breeze. They just need to respond to that email, long or short. Doesn't matter how verbose your mother is. You get a copy of those responses as they're submitted. And then at the end of the year, StoryWorth compiles all of those stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you can share and revisit for generations to come. You can print a copy for yourself. You can print a copy for the grandkids. You can print a copy for your friends. Print as many copies as you want. Families love StoryWorth. That's why it has more than 25,000 five-star reviews on Trustpilot, with millions of stories preserved since they were founded over a decade ago. So give all the mothers in your life a unique, heartfelt gift that you'll cherish for years. StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/who. That's storyworth.com/who to save $10 on your first purchase.
Hey there. So I don't even know how to phrase this, but I'm sure you're getting a lot of calls about this, and it's kind of crazy to even explain. But last week, The Bachelorette ended, and The Bachelorette ended up picking a piece of trash that lied to her, and she basically dumped him on live TV, which is great content. And then they bring on the runner-up, essentially, and she asks him out for drinks. And so this week they're, like, seen coming out of her apartment early one morning. So we expect that, like, she went on a date with this guy, Tyler C. And I don't even know, like, I don't know why I'm cracking up telling the story. Anyway, they obviously went on their date. He slept over. That's great, right? Well, before the finale ended, Gigi Hadid went and followed Tyler C., which was a Bachelorette contestant, on Instagram, and everybody was like, oh, what's happening there? And come to find out that last night, after going on a date with the Bachelorette, Tyler C. also went on a date with Gigi Hadid last night in New York, which, like, is amazing that people found this out, and apparently he also went to her apartment and stayed there till like 2 or 3 in the morning, which, you know, that's not just like a casual hangout, in my opinion. But that's kind of crazy. Long story short, why is Gigi Hadid watching The Bachelorette? Like, isn't she supposed to be off, like, being a model and dating people like Zayn? Like, how did Gigi Hadid know who these people were? Like, that's crazy to me. And I would love your thoughts on this and how all of this might implode. Thanks. Bye.
So you didn't watch The Bachelorette this season. I didn't watch The Bachelor. I heard it was an amazing season. I honestly regret not, like, catching up when I heard that. But, like, I really did not have the patience with Love Island happening in my life as well. So what ended up happening was there was a lot of drama in which at the end of this season, for those who didn't watch The Bachelor, this very beloved Bachelorette, like the woman who was a Bachelorette, people really liked her. It ended up being, like, a very – they liked her. So she ends up between these two guys. One's a country singer and one is this guy named Tyler. And the country singer's named Jed. And I guess they got engaged at the end of the show. But then this other woman came out and was like, we were dating like a minute before this show started.
Oh,
like,
shit.
We were like seriously together right before this guy literally went on The Bachelorette. So like, it's kind of bullshit. Like, he lied to you on many accounts, blah, blah. And then you know how they have the show that's like the update, you know, the interview, what's the update? So she goes on the show and she's like, I am no longer engaged to that guy, Jed, like the winner of The Bachelorette.
Oh.
And then she kind of says, the engagement is over. We are not together. It's really hard to grapple with that. But I know what I got is not what I wanted for a life partner, love that is not built on a foundation of truth and honesty. So, cause he claimed that they broke up. It wasn't exclusive. The girl who he was dating was like, it was, that's bullshit.
Okay.
So then she jokingly / seriously asked Tyler, the runner up, if he would like to get a drink with her. And everybody was like, Oh, so that happened. And that was like all, I believe, live or at least like taped now versus the show
the one
was
that's
obviously
like months
taped
old.
In the past.
Right.
So then a day later or a few days later, there were photos of
Tyler
leaving Hannah's house, Hannah's the Bachelorette, the next day as like he had stayed over.
So like oh, wow, this is still happening.
Over.
Like, wow, it actually was real.
Or like they're hooking up. They're hooking. So it says, you know, a source said Tyler got to Hannah's place around 9 p.m. They stayed in. A source said a Thursday night. He spent the night with her and left the morning after 10 a.m. She walked him out to his car and they hugged and kissed. He had an overnight bag and they looked very happy together. That's an amazing source. It's like literally the most specific source I've ever heard in my life. So they spend the night together. And then I'm not sure the timing on this, but a few days later or like the next day, this is all in New York, which is funny
to
me.
Yeah, that's wild. Yeah.
He spotted at Dumbo House, which is the Soho House, but it's in Dumbo.
Brooklyn, yeah.
With Gigi Hadid. Tyler Cameron.
And the Dumbo House isn't somewhere you go if you don't want to be seen immediately by everyone.
None of the Soho
houses,
I mean.
Like,
I would say,
are places.
Exclusive by any means. I feel like you think they're exclusive, but they're truly not. Like,
not
I've been there. It's not exclusive. So he's seen with Gigi Hadid in New York. It says the duo who first connected over Instagram spent time together at Brooklyn's Dumbo House. And I think Gigi Hadid, which is like totally reasonable to me, was watching The Bachelorette. She saw that this guy had lost.
Okay.
He came in second place. He's a loser. DMs him. Hey, it's Gigi Hadid. I really liked The Bachelorette. Think you're very hot. Think you're cool. Would you like to go out? Because that's like not crazy.
Isn't crazy.
Like, he lost. So this guy is like, I'm like dating Gigi Hadid now. So they're seen together at Double House. They're seen together the next night at like a bowling alley.
At a bowling Frames, alley. Yeah, I saw that they're at a bowling
which
alley.
Which is like in 42nd Street Station, right? Ugh. Frames.
I can't believe they went there.
And apparently my two favorite headlines based off of this, we don't even need to get into them, but one was Zayn Malik lists $10 million NYC apartment as ex Gigi Hadid spotted on date with Tyler Cameron, as if they're related, but like they're not. Even though I know that they Gigi and Zayn dated, but like
reports,
it's just hilarious.
Yeah.
And then the second was The Bachelorette's Tyler Cameron skips scheduled court appearance following dates with Gigi Hadid. He just straight up skipped going to court in Boca Raton.
It was for careless driving.
Right.
Gigi's like, I'll pay the fee.
Right. Gigi's like, just go out with me. You don't need to go back to Florida to go to court. You're famous now. And then the last one was Tyler Cameron and Gigi Hadid's dates are definitely real, says a source. They're both being coy. So in case you're like, oh, I thought they were, maybe they're just friends.
They're not really being coy.
No, it's not coy at all. And then the people were saying in Hannah's comments, because Hannah's a big, people love her. I wouldn't say Gigi Hadid has fans that like love her as much as like Hannah's fans seem to love her, because she like did a full series of TV, two series of TV.
Yeah.
Two seasons. So in her comments that, you know, she'd posted a picture and somebody, everyone's right, you're better than Gigi, you're hotter than, you know, stuff like that, rude shit. And she said, I'm forever so thankful for the love and support you all show me. However, supporting me does not mean you have to compare me to anyone else. I want to make sure that we are all remembering to uplift other women and not tear them down. XOXO Han. So, you know,
shine theory don't
compare me to Gigi Hadid. Truly. Shout out
CYG. XOXO Han. Or does she go by Han? Han.
Hannah Banana.
Han. Yeah, but what if she goes by Han for fun?
Like Han Solo? Yeah, that's fun.
Isn't that fun?
Why would you be Hannah and then go by Han?
No, Han. Han is weird.
Everyone's like, everyone sees your name, they're like, oh, Han. And you're like, it's Han's actually cute. Han. And they're like, why? Your name's Hannah. And you're like, it's Han.
Well, Gigi Hadid just...
Do you think Han Solo stands for Hannah? Hannah Solo?
That'd be funny.
Yeah.
He had to change it. He was like, no one will take me seriously as a bounty hunter. Is that what he is? Bounty hunter, unless I make it Han. She took a page out of Sarah Hyland's book. She realized that it can work, so why not keep doing it?
Well, that's what everyone keeps saying. Everyone's like, it's real, it's real, it's real, it's real, it's real. Like, this is real. Like, after Sarah Hyland and Wells, like, this can be real.
But you're right about the DM stuff. Like, it's so easy for celebrities to just do that. So why wouldn't you? Even if it is entirely casual. Maybe she's not in love with him. They just wanted to hang out. Like, she wanted to hook up with them and see if it works.
I think you're cool. I love the season. I would love to hear more about the season. Like, let's go out.
Yes.
Why not?
Our favorite category of celebrity story, one of them, is whenever celebrities befriend each other just by reaching out and saying, like, I like you, want to hang out.
It's also just like really cute that Gigi Hadid is like a big fan of The Bachelorette, clearly, and was like, oh, he like didn't even win, but like seems very like a good catch. Let me like send him a DM. Mm-hmm. She's broken up with her long-term boyfriend, you know, like they're not together. Yeah. It's just a funny twist. And now The Bachelor and The Bachelorette have become so real life outside of the show that it's like just very weird. But it's the weirdest thing mainly is to have real life mingling with the show, like in such a very concrete way.
Which it hasn't been doing in a while.
No, it hasn't. It kind of lived in its own bubble. I mean, the Bachelor and Bachelorette stars kind of like keep to themselves in their own world. But now it's like you have Sarah Hyland in here. You have
other
celebrities that have like Demi Lovato was at one of the finales because she had like a crush on one of the guys. Like it's you have kind of these leaks into the world, which I don't
honestly
know if I
it
like.
Only it only makes it better. I think.
Oh, you think it's better?
I think it only makes
well,
it
makes
better.
It like. Makes it more accessible
it
to us, I guess.
Yeah, it makes it a little more fun because the Bachelor Nation people
watching.
Are a little boring.
Hi, Lindsay. Hi, Bobby. Dakota Johnson got rid of her tooth gap. Her tooth gap was described in Page Six as, quote, one of her most recognizable features. I didn't even know she had a tooth gap, and I would like to say that I'm a connoisseur of Dakota Johnson's filmography. Is Dakota Johnson's tooth gap a... who or a them? Crunch, crunch.
I mean, if Dakota Johnson is a who, their tooth gap is a who, too.
Is a who, for sure.
Did you know Dakota Johnson had an iconic tooth gap?
Actually.
I did, because she stuck stuff in it for that
but
show.
Also, I just noticed, I notice un-Hollywood
tooth
teeth.
Gaps. Yeah, you do.
I'm a fan whenever there's something slightly off about someone's teeth because it like normalizes them. You know?
It also did give her a touch of personality
and
look that made her, because she really is just a, to me, brown-haired girl.
Yeah, she looks like her mom. Like, she looks like Melanie Griffin.
She really
and
does.
And with the tooth gap, she looks a little different, which is nice.
Looks a little different. But she went on Fallon, and of course he asked her about it, and she gave, like, a cutie response, which was just like, please, like, give me time for my tooth gap, but, like, you can play it here. But the reason behind it was, and this is actually not... I didn't think this was bullshit at all. It made sense to me. She had one of those like glued in retainers. Mm-hmm. You know, you have those like they glue them in.
I wish I had one.
She had a glued in retainer and she had neck problems. And her orthodontist was like, well, let me take out the retainer and see if that helps because you've had it for a long time. And like maybe it's fucking with your jaw, which also fucks with your neck. So you take out the retainer and the gap closed. It was keeping the gap open or something. Mm-hmm. Like it was expanding her palate, therefore keeping this gap open. The gap closes because like, you know, when you get your braces off, your teeth kind of like start to overlap each other again.
Which is why I wish I would have gotten a permanent retainer because my bottom teeth immediately moved.
Mine too, but I kind of don't care. I feel like
it's fine.
Perfect teeth are boring now. No, like in 2019, having like perfectly straight teeth that looks like you got braces, it kind of is boring.
It's boring.
It's fun to have teeth that are a little fucking weird.
A little weird. And that's why
fangs,
I like the gap.
A little, one little fang, a little chippy, like some, you know,
like
just
a Kirsten Dunst fang.
I just think it's like personality. Like I love... So much of the, like, quirks of people I know and celebrities' teeth that are not perfect, I'm like, I really am into. Yeah. Like, that's why I love the gaps. Like, you know, who else has a... There are so many iconic gaps.
For a while, I was convinced my teeth were moving and that I was going to get a Dakota Johnson gap, but I didn't. But if it ever happened, I'd be into it.
I think it'd be cute. And also, there's other... We were recently talking about Jordan Woods' gap. She definitely closed her gap. Yeah. Like, she closed it herself.
Or she went to the doctor.
So Dakota was like, you know, I would totally want it again. I just, like, it just closed. So I believe her. I buy that. And guess what? She's not pregnant. Another more proof that she's not pregnant.
But the rumor is that she's back with Chris Martin.
And pregnant.
We got a call about that. It was like, Dakota Johnson is back with Chris Martin, which means she's probably pregnant.
She's pregnant.
And I was like, I love you, caller. You're so good. And I believe you. So anyway, the rumor, which we cannot prove, is that Dakota Johnson is back with Chris Martin and pregnant.
And pregnant. She's not pregnant, but she is back with
but
Chris
she
Martin.
Might be pregnant. Let's just say she's
so Chris
pregnant.
Martin.
So Dakota Johnson's okay. pregnant. Congrats to Dakota Johnson.
Stop. Her gap is gone, but her pregnancy lives on.
Chris Martin's going to sing Fix You to her, but he means he's going to put her gap back.
Oh my God, that's so romantic. He comes in with like, and he, it's like, yeah, the music starts. It starts,
and it's like,
it starts. He walks in and braces. He has a briefcase and she's like, what is that, Chris? And he opens the briefcase and it's orthodontal like tools.
And that like
glimmering. And she realizes what it is. And she's like, oh, you didn't. And she starts to cry. You didn't. And he's like, yes, Dakota, I'm going to bring your gap back. Your gap back. And then he leans her back like sexy into like a chair, like an orthodontist chair. Right?
Yes.
Like leans her like back. Like this is all
the sexiest orthodonty ever.
And it's like, lights will go. And then the light, as lights happen, as that lyric happens, he turns on the bright light of
the little thingy over it. Lights will guide you home.
And then,
your tooth bones.
And she's looking at him and her eyes are so loving and she opens her mouth willingly. This sounds like really porn, but she opens her mouth and he's like, wider. Like that's what he says. It's like
wider,
sexy.
Wider.
And he puts on one of those dentists.
So that your mouth is
over
big?
His mouth. Yeah. No. Well, oh, no.
But he puts that
no,
the
over
mouth
his
extender
mouth.
Where he's like this.
So you can, yeah, he puts that in her mouth and he puts a mask over his mouth and you can only see his eyes and they're just looking in each other's eyes. Her mouth is like fucking stretched open by this plastic piece.
He puts two little braces thingies on it. He stretches them. Ugh.
Okay, so I don't really want to get into the tooth work because I feel like the scene cuts after he starts. He grabs these tools and he starts to lean into her. And then the scene cuts.
And then it says, directed by Luca Guadagnino.
Yes!
The rom-com is back.
I love it. A sexy orthodontist rom-com.
Well, you know,
like,
one of my favorite rom-coms ends in the dentist's office.
Which one?
Ghost Town.
Oh,
Taylor Leone and Ricky Gervais. Ricky Gervais, okay. Nightmare Person, happens to have starred in one of the sweetest rom-coms of the new century.
Okay.
That ends with a John Mayer song. Who would have thought?
Which one?
Heart of Life.
Oh, okay.
And the last line And the last line, Taylor Leone goes, it hurts when I smile. And then Ricky Gervais goes, I can fix that for you. Because he's a dentist.
Oh, he's so irritating, though.
That movie is so good. Greg Kinnear's in it.
Ghost Town remake, but it's about Dakota Johnson's gap and about widening it.
Hello, sharks. Hello, Amy Pascal.
Hello, Amy Pascal.
Amazing Amy. I have an idea.
It's just five Amy Pascals in different outfits with different
bursts
hats on.
Into Amy Pascal's office. We have a concept, and it's about Dakota Johnson's gap, and it ends with Fix You. She gives us a check for $45 million.
Actually, our budget is closer to...
She's like, with all the licensing fees, you're going to need $100 million.
Oh, we're paying $10 million just to use Fix You.
And, you know, Dakota's going to ask her more money.
Oh, my God. I will
pregnant.
Guide your bones is wild.
I will move your teeth bones.
Okay, we need to move
we
on.
We are done for the week. We've been recording for an hour and 41 minutes. thank you for listening. Support us on patreon.com/whoweekly for bi-weekly bonus episodes and a weekly newsletter. Oh my God, I have to write that tomorrow. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook.
Yeah, you do.
Call us and I will release mine on Friday, unlike Lindsay. Call us at 619.
I was so busy.
and leave questions, comments, concerns.
I was so busy.
And we will see you on what was it? Tuesday. We'll see you on Tuesday. Have a great weekend.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey. Hey.
Hey. I want to be famous.
Remember when Leo bought Blake Lively a Prius? Good form, Bellathorne.